Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 303, part 1, Fidelity. Today is Friday, August 2nd, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Tonight's tape is entitled, Fidelity. The last six messages we have ministered on the fruit of the Spirit, love and peace and joy, good temper, kindliness, and generosity. And now let's look at fidelity. Fidelity, meaning honesty. And I think we must have basic honesty with God. And then you have to be honest with yourself, and then honest with others. Well, I mean, you have to be honest with yourself. And if you are honest with yourself, well, you're going to be honest with other people. And of course, firstly, honest with God. And we said that love was the main product, and the other fruit were byproducts. Coming from. All things, we said, come out of love, and love was the tree, and the tree was the tree of life, Jesus Christ. And I think that each fruit complements the next. The love and the joy and the peace and the good temper and kindness, generosity, and now tonight the fidelity, the honesty. And so when we receive the Spirit of love, when we receive Jesus Christ, when we are born again, we then manifest, let's say, the fruit. And if we have love, we take on its characteristics. You start to become Christ-like. And so we develop in what we grow in. In other words, we develop or become people of joy, peace, good temper, kindness, and generosity. And so tonight, let's look at the fruit from the love tree, fidelity, meaning the quality of being faithful, A loyal person. A person who keeps promises. Now, ministers, if you're listening on the radio to me now, if you've made a promise and you've made a pact and you've come into a, let's say that you're a missionary somewhere, and God expects you to be faithful in that, well, then there's a few things that you're going to have to contend with. To be faithful to one thing means that you have to be sometimes unfaithful to the lesser things. In order to keep that promise, love God first and obey God first. It's sort of a thoroughness, let's say, in performance of duty. The Bible calls it a trustworthy witness. Your witness, your words, what you say with your mouth. Now, a lot of times people just, they can talk and they can talk a good talk or jive or whatever. And so your witness is your words. People listen to you and say, well, that's what a guy's all about. And that's what that person is all about. In other words, are you faithful in your speech? Or do you whine and despair and cause doubt and say, it won't work? The Bible says, he who is faithful with a trifle, in other words, small words, is also faithful with large words, large trust, and he who is dishonest with a trifle is also dishonest with a large trust. I mean, if you can't trust somebody with a little bit, it's for sure you can't trust them with a whole lot. And so if you are not faithful with dishonest mammon, money, how can you ever be trusted with true riches? I mean, if money is your God, now I'm not against money, but if it's your God, and you're dishonest with that mammon, how can you ever be trusted with the true riches? And if you are not faithful with what belongs to another, how can you ever be given what is your own? And that's Luke 16, 10 through 12. And so tonight, here are the principles laid out. If you are not faithful in a trifle, you cannot be trusted with a tremendous amount. And so if you are not faithful with material, how can you be entrusted with spiritual true riches? Now, I know there's a lot of prophets of God running around saying, God told me this and God told me that. We had coffee together this morning. Not to be trusted. Says in the end, there'll come a whole lot of people like that. God said this and God said that. And it doesn't even line up with the Word of God. I mean, they're not faithful with the material. How can they be trusted with the spiritual, the true riches? In Proverbs 28 and 20 it says, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. Now you see somebody in a hurry to get money. There's something wrong there. 1 Corinthians 4 and 2 then says, it is required of the stewards that one be found trustworthy. In other words, we have a mission down here. Are we trustworthy with this mission? How much can God entrust to this mission? Well, the Bible says, freely, freely I've given you, freely give it away. Well, the freer you are in giving it away, the freer you are going to get it. And so if we are stewards and servants of the mysteries of God, certainly there are a lot of those. Now, if we're not faithful with dishonest men, and how can God trust us, I said, with the true riches? We must be honest in our giving. Give, and it shall be given unto you, pushed down, packed together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. And so we must be honest in our giving. We must be faithful with what belongs to another. That's like borrowing a car. Or clothes and then bring them back all wrinkled. Thank you. Throw them in a big heap someplace. Or someone borrowing your tools, Jim, and they bring back the socket set and half of the sockets are missing. Or whatever. How then can we ever be given what is our own? Are you hearing this? Now I think in many cases people are poor because they're not trustworthy. Not faithful with materials, therefore not faithful or trustworthy with the spiritual. Ah, you can give one man a house and he'll keep that house up real nice, and you can give another man a house, and I mean it'll look like a pigsty in about a half a year. Are you going to give him another house? And that's why people excel on their jobs. Someone that's faithful and trustworthy with the tools on that job. Trustworthy when the boss says do this and do that and do this. Well, now you can give them something more. But somebody that can't even handle a little thing, you can't trust them with that. How are you going to trust them with anything more? How are you going to make a boss out of them? Now, let's say someone asked one of you people out here, you listening on the radio to this tape, to borrow your car. Now, you just bought it, see, and you haven't had it too long. Well, you say, sure. Oh, praise God, they say, and away they go, and they peel out, lay rubber for about 39 and a half feet. Grind the gears, blow the horn for a whole block, come back 6 hours later and say, I'm so sorry I'm late. Time just got away from me. You say, oh, that's okay. But is that what you mean as you look inside the car with all these McDonald McFeast ground into the carpet? And these great big old jumbo Coke bottles laying down there, and them hamburger containers, and them ketchup, rip it with your teeth containers all over the seats and the floor and the dash and the glove compartment. And so off you have to drive up here to the car wash saying, oh, well, praise God, being a phony Christian. Now, there's nothing wrong with being mad. You're still a Christian, but you're a mad Christian on the way your car came back, okay? And so the car starts bucking as you're going towards the car wash. Oh, no, it's out of gas. Oh, well, praise God. Oh, will you borrow your car out to that person again? Will you say, oh, sure, here's my car again. I love to clean it up. I love to run out of gas. Must have been God speaking to me. Yeah, God was speaking to you not to borrow it out to that person again. And that's the way a whole lot of Christians are. Not trustworthy with a little. Well, I think this is true when you entrust anything to people. If they're not honest, if they're not trustworthy, if they're not faithful with material things, if they're lazy, slothful, dishonest, can they then be trusted with true riches? I think a lot of times if we would see how people take care of their material things and see how they are in their person. Now, when you go to get a job, you're listening on the radio and say, you don't go there with this stinking, you know, no deodorant on. Your hair not combed. No socks on, tennis shoes, a great big kind with a great big ears that come up. He looks like some kind of a bunny. No shoelaces, and go slopping in there, walking on the heels of the things, just sliding in there, you know, going for a job. About the only thing you'd be good for is to put some big muffins on your feet so you could shine the floor. No, if you cannot be trustworthy, faithful with your own body, how are you going to treat somebody else's body? Can you then be trusted with the true riches? Let's face it, about 25% of the people in the churches keep it going. There are folks that never put a nickel in the plate and want everything out of it. Now I know what I'm talking about. I've been in this a while. It's about 25% of the people that keep the church going, either cleaning it or keeping a mission going. God knows there's very few down here doing this mission. The biggest, the largest mission, grocery bag consistent giveaway in the United States with just a few people. And why is it that God gives them all of them groceries and tons of food? Because they are trustworthy. God knows it's going to go out the very next day and people are going to be fed. Now, are you hearing this on the radio? Are you hearing this on the tape? And this is contained in your own ministry. If you're lazy and slothful and dishonest, can you be trusted with the true riches? And yet, people will try to get real spiritual when they're not doing anything. Not doing anything of any material value to anyone else, and yet they are so spiritual. Walking around in these great big gowns, just coming down off the mountain someplace. It seems like they're always on a mountain. Don't you know that everything happens down in the valley? Down in the valley, valley so low. That's where all the fruit grows, is down there in the valley. There's nothing to eat up there in the mountaintop. Very little air to breathe. And so fidelity then, in thought and deed, are the hallmark of one's character. Honesty. When you say that you are going to do something, fella, do it. When you say, I'll be there at a certain time, be there. When you say you're going to meet somebody, meet them. When you say you're going to pay them back, pay them back. Glory to God, pay them back. Or you'll be known as a dishonest person. Now I think God lets us be tested day by day with a little. And if we can be faithful there, then he'll use us elsewhere. You get out of things, and the world even knows this, you get out of things exactly what you put in it. Now, you can complain about the job situation all you want to. You listen on the radio. You listen to this tape. If you haven't got out of that house and you don't get up until noon, you're laying there like a lazy sluggard and never get up out of bed. Don't you blame anybody. Don't you blame your government. Don't you blame your mama. Don't you blame anybody but yourself. Oh, yeah, but all I get is them $3 an hour jobs. Be faithful with that $3 an hour job till it's up to $4 and up to $5 and up to $6 and up to who knows where. But first of all, folks, we got to be faithful with a little. And everybody wants to start at the top. Equal this and equal that. But not equal work. Not equal dedication. Not equal anything. And so we're tested day by day to see what we're going to do a little bit. Both the universe and we are made for the truth and for honesty. God made you for the truth and God made you for honesty. And the universe was made for the same. And both the universe and we are alien to the untruth and dishonesty. And that's why it shows up. I think the universe is made for the same thing. We are made for righteousness, the Bible says. Not only the face of the Lord, but the face of the universe is set against evildoers. Yeah, I mean, a lazy sluggard is never going to make it. Never, never, never. Because God's face is against that kind of thing. And the universe is against that sort of thing. Even in the wildlife, you see a lazy old wolf, and he doesn't take care, doesn't do his own, and doesn't do his own kill, doesn't do anything. He isn't in that pack no longer. Even the animal kingdom knows that. I mean, you got to have a little bit of tension in your body. Everybody's got to have some kind of tension. It just don't walk around with no tension at all. Just sort of ambling here and ambling there and going here and going and not doing anything. I'll tell you something. If you're in the ring and you're one of them sluggards, you're going to get slugged out. You better have some tension in your body. Say amen, somebody. Are you hearing this? You go to sleep driving a truck, you ain't going to last long as a truck driver. And so the universe is not made for the success of a lie. Now, when we live like that, we're living a lie. God made no man to be lazy. You weren't made that way. Oh, it may live for a while, that lie. But I'll tell you something. It's got short legs. A lie has short legs. I think it has emphysema. And they can't keep up with the long, strong, long legs, healthy lungs of the truth. I think that some think that decency is a handicap. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I'd rather steal. It's a lot easier to steal. I mean, that's a handicap for me not to steal. Now, I went by this car, and I looked inside of this car, and there's a great big old boom box in there. And there's a great big billfold on the seat. Now, I mean, if I would have been decent, and I would have been truthful, and I would have been honest, and I wouldn't be a sluggard and a thief, I wouldn't have got that. He says that behind bars. See, you get exactly out of life what you put into it. And even if it's just satisfaction, satisfaction is guaranteed to everybody that'll go ahead and go for it. Why not go for it? Don't you run the race to win the race? I do. I don't just get in there and say, oh, praise God, I'm coming in last, I fell on my face. Oh, I'm getting in there to win. Oh, they think, if I could only fight dirty and be indecent, I could be rich. I'd like to have a quarter every time I've heard a Christian say, it's a good thing I'm not a Christian or I would. Boy, when I was in the world, you're still in the world, you're loving, you wish you were back in there so you could strangle somebody to death. Not that we don't get those thoughts once in a while. Glory to God. I think we all do. But you don't have to voice them. Mark it down. Liars and indecent, let's say, countries and people fall from within. The moment that a country starts to be dishonest with itself, the moment that a person starts to be dishonest in themselves, I mean, it is hard to be honest with yourself. We want this person to be that way, not for that person. We want them to be that way for us. That's dishonesty. Oh, I just don't want to see you make a mistake, old guy. I wish I had a nickel for every time somebody said that to me. I want to make sure this, and I want to make sure. No, wait a minute. You're doing this for yourself. Why don't you just be honest about it? Say amen. You ever anybody come up to you and tell you something like that? Maybe they want you to do something because you're excelling in it. Well, I'll tell you something now here, Tracer. I mean, now if here's this is just a little comment. I think I'll just slip this in there. It might do you some good. And they lay one on you that doesn't do you any good at all. And this includes the manipulators and the deceivers. I'm talking about liars, but there's manipulators of the truth. Oh, how hard it is to be a manipulator. God, you got to lay awake nights manipulating. You got to lay awake nights being a deceiver. You got to lay awake all night worrying how you're going to make this thing come off so you look like, you smell like a rose and the other guy smells like an onion. No, nobody gets away with anything in this universe. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be made known. Either we work, and listen to it now, with the moral universe and get results, or we work against it and get the consequences. Matthew 24, 45 through 47 says like this. Who then is the faithful, sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them food at the proper time? Blessed is the slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. So dishonesty doesn't pay. Your boss tells you to do something, and he comes back, and you've got it all done. He says, well, wow, that's great. Now, I've been watching you, and I'm going to put you in charge of everything around here. Honesty is the best policy, and I know if you've all heard that. But anyway, the ultimate question about a man's character is this: will that man lie? Are there any circumstances under which that man will lie? Now, here's a thin line, because the Bible says that all men are liars. Let God be true, all men be liars. But according to God, you are liars. I'm talking about a plain truth and a plain lie. Now, listen to this. Well, anyway, if so, the rest of his character is worthless. If you can't take his word, that man is unsound. And God can't use unsound men. Somebody that's blown with any wind of doctrine, someone that'll quit and run, bust loose just because some kind of trouble comes their way, and leave their ministries. Well, a person can't be a good worker like that. Have a good personality. They can have that good personality. But if they lie and if they cheat, it cancels out the rest of the fruit. You ever known somebody that is they're a good worker, and they're nice to be around, and they're a lot of fun, and they joke and they carry on, and you just love to be around them, and then you find out that they're lying all the time and they're cheating? Doesn't that ruin it? You ever have somebody you just really, really liked, and then you just happen and you come around the corner and there they are stealing? What I do is I just sort of back off. Makes me sick to my stomach. I don't even want to catch them. Are you hearing this? Oh, God. I don't even want to catch them. It just ruins the whole character of that person. And so it's the righteousness of men. See, men of fidelity, men of honesty, they're the ones that keep the dishonest ones going, by the way. Oh, don't you know it? I said it's the righteous men of fidelity, that hold things together long enough for the men of infidelity to practice their infidelity within that situation. If there's a good, honest thing going on, a dishonest person's going to find their way into it and try to ruin it. Try to find some way of tearing it down or ruining it. Wherever there is honesty, you're going to find the dishonest. Wherever that there is, what does the Bible say? Wherever there's good, evil is always present. Don't be surprised if you're doing a good work and there'll be a lot of bad workers trying to get the good work to go down. And so take the honest and the truthful men out and make evil pure evil, and it will destroy itself. I said, take honest and truthful men out of a situation and make evil pure evil, and it will destroy itself, because evil is a parasite upon the good. Did you ever see somebody that gets into evil? Maybe you're doing something good, and evil gets in there. If that evil, and let's say a group of evil people are in there, and they're taken out of where good is, do you know what they do? In the end, they destroy themselves. They eat themselves. They have nothing to feed on. I venture to say if a lot of moms and dads would move out of households where there's a whole lot of evil going on in that family, they'd destroy themselves, because they've been feeding on mom and dad, or they've been feeding on their church. And you take that away from them, and they just do themselves in. See, when they leave and only have each other, they devour one another, the Bible says, or they split up in search of new life. Preachers, Sunday morning comes and you open up that door and there's a whole troop of people coming from another church. Say, go back. Go back. Huh? Hold up the cross and go like this and say, go back. Huh? Well, they're hissing on you. Shh. Go back. Go back. See, they ate up that one church. Then they're going to come in and eat up what you're doing. Go back. Are you hearing this? When evil, dishonest, untrustworthy people, I said, gather together with lies and distortions, like many who claim visitations. You can hardly pick up one of these books now where somebody hasn't been visited by Gabriel or someone. Huh? Horn in hand. Or had some kind of a dream. Be careful. Be careful. And you have to step over a pile of dirty diapers. Huh? Or you have to wade through a great big weedy front yard, tripping over old bicycles that have been there for 20 years, rusted, with the handlebars bent. They have nothing better to do. The Bible calls them busybodies. Calls them evil doers. They have nothing to do, the Bible says, but stir up. And when they get outside of where they've been stirring up for years, they try to get people within to stir again. Are you hearing this? I know, because I get your calls from your pastors out there, and I'm just telling you what's happening. Well, that's the way it is. There's people that say they got visitations. They even have a red telephone, a hotline to God. And they must be surrounded by good people to feed on. Now, I think there's a few prophetesses out there. Gather groups. They're not under any kind of special thing or anything. They're just prophetesses. Are you hearing this? Now, I think it needs to be mentioned. You need to get yourself into a church, folks. Get yourself into a work and stop waiting for somebody to lay their hands with long gowns upon your head and give you all kinds of sayings and so on like that. Are you hearing this? What good is it anyway? Check out their life. Be careful when you gather with people that have nothing better to do than prophesy over one another. Are you hearing this? Are you hearing it? Remember Ananias, his wife Sapphira, lied to the Holy Spirit and withheld? Bible says they dropped dead. No dishonesty is worth the price we have to pay for it with inward conflict and unhappiness. Be honest with yourself, or you're going to be unhappy, sleepless nights. I mean, just be honest with yourself. Maybe you don't like it, but be honest anyway. Go on in, vomit in the garbage, and then go to bed and go to sleep. It's going to cause you to be unhappy. I believe the reason for telling lies and being unfaithful and untrustworthy, dishonest, is because we don't want to share in the suffering. You know, if I had my whole of my life to live over, I'd face up to life and every action there is of it. 2 Timothy 2:3 says something like, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, accept your share of suffering. Well, doesn't that take the sting out of suffering? Are you suffering with something? You listening on the radio? Are you suffering with something? Why? It's just your share of suffering. Why are you so upset? It's just your share, your fair share of suffering. It says give your body as a living sacrifice. Why are we so upset when we have our share of suffering? Well, maybe you have to suffer with somebody you love. Maybe you have to suffer with your children, or maybe the children have to suffer with you. So what? Maybe you have to suffer with somebody, some friend. So what? Maybe you're suffering with yourself. Well, that's your fair share of suffering. I think this is part of Paul's appeal to Timothy. Timothy, the Bible says, was a product of a divided home, a mother and a father who were of different religions and different nationalities. And then he had a little thing there, see? And I think this is a very heavy handicap for mates and for kids. One to be religious and the other one not. Or to be of different religious faith. And I think that's often tragic. You know why? Because it doesn't work. Praise God, even though his father was pagan, his mother and his grandfather trained him, it says, in religious life. Paul writes, from a child thou hast known the scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. But, you know, in spite of raising him up with the knowledge of the Lord, they never got him converted. And so Paul had to win him over to Christ. Now it's believed that Timothy nursed in stone the stone bleeding Paul. Remember when in the Bible where Paul was stoned and left for dead? Well, it doesn't say it exactly, but it is believed that Timothy is the one that nursed him back to health. And so it says, then Paul raised him up to be a preacher, a constant helper, until finally Paul laid down his life in Rome. And so Paul wrote, as a good soldier, now listen to this, of Jesus Christ, accept your share of suffering. Well, what is Paul saying to this young man? He is telling him to be a Christian is to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. He's saying, Timothy, you do not belong to yourself anymore, you belong to another. In fact, the Bible says, it is not I that lives, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. It is not I that lives, but Christ in me, I said. In this life I now live, I live in faith. I think the minute one becomes a soldier, he no longer does what he pleases. I remember when I became a soldier in the natural, and this is a few years back, it'd be 1950. And right away, as soon as I became a soldier, I was not my own man anymore. I belong to Uncle Sam. $21 a month. To 72, I think it was 72 or 71, $72 a month. And so I had to live under orders, and it ceased to be my own person, really. And I believe becoming a Christian is surrendering our lives, and the Bible does bear this out, our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. A soldier must live in a very soldierly fashion. Just the same way I said, when you join the army, you don't expect an easy time. You don't go in there thinking you're just going to have fun, and you're going to go, oh, we're going to sail all the way over to Germany. There's a little that happens to you before you sail over to Germany. It's yes, sir, and no, sir, and it's hard, basic training. It's on-call duty. It's long marches, and it's hard battles, and it's being wounded, and even death. It's giving your life for others. And so being a Christian is not the easiest way through life. To be a Christian, and I really come to believe this, firmly believe it, to be a Christian means conflict. Since you become a Christian, have you had anything but conflicts?
That was episode 303, part 1, Fidelity. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a beautiful weekend. God bless you.
letter to England or France. You may like to gamble, you might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home, might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread, maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Now you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody. To serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.